Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Girvana Dari Gopi Jana Balava Girvana Dari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Giribana Dari Gopi Jana Balava Giribana Dari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Giribana Dari Gopi Jana Balava Giribana Dari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Sodanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yasodanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yasodanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jayam Swarupishnipad Dharmahamsa Parvapacharya Aspasarishi Srimadhi Javandre Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnavinda Ki Namacharya Shilharidas Thakur Ki Prem Kahochi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Navadvip Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Nuraman Reiki Dham Ki Gangamayi Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Jamunamayi Ki Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1. What chapter? Oh, chapter 13, text 57 and 58. Could someone read the Sanskrit? O King, he will quit his body most probably on the fifth day from today, and his body will turn to ashes. Pour forth by Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni's prophecy prohibited Yudhisthira Maharaj from going to the place where his uncle was staying, because even after quitting the body by his own mystic power, Dhritarashtra would not be in need of any funeral ceremony. Narada Muni indicated that his body by itself would burn to ashes. The perfection of the yoga system is attained by such mystic power. The yogi is able to quit his body by his own choice of time, and he can attain any planet he desires by turning the present body into ashes by self-made fire. Text 58.
Husband, patni, the wife, saha ujate, along with the thatched cottage, bahi, outside, stita, situated, patim, unto the husband, sadvi, the chaste lady, tam, that. Agnim, fire. Anuvekshati, looking with great attention, will enter the fire. translation. But, while outside observing her husband, who will burn in the fire of mystic power, along with his thatched cottage, his chaste wife will enter the fire with rapt attention. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Gandhari was an ideal chaste lady, a life companion of her husband. And therefore, when she saw her husband burning in the fire of mystic yoga, along with his cottage of leaves, she despaired. She left home after losing her 100 sons, and in the forest, she saw that her most beloved husband was also burning. Now she actually felt alone, and therefore she entered the fire of her husband and followed her husband to death. This entering of a chaste lady into the fire of her dead husband is called the sati rite, and the action is considered to be most perfect for a woman. In a later age, this sati rite became an obnoxious criminal affair because the ceremony was forced upon even an unwilling woman. In this fallen age, it is not possible for any lady to follow the sati rite as chastely as it was done by Gandhari and others in past ages. A chaste wife, like Gandhari, would feel the separation of her husband to be more burning than actual fire. Such a lady can observe the sati rite voluntarily, and there is no criminal force by anyone. When the rite became a formality only, and force was applied upon a lady to follow the principle, actually it became criminal, and therefore the ceremony was to be stopped by state law. This prophecy of Narada Muni to Maharaj Yudhisthira forbade him to go to his widowed aunt. So Om Gyanatimarandasya Ganangasalakaya Chaksurumilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangam Maite Girim Yakripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarnam Panchakalpa Churubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. The translation is, actually, I'll read both translations. O King, he will quit his body most probably on the fifth day from today, and his body will turn to ashes. While outside observing her husband, who will burn in the fire of mystic power, along with his thatched cottage, his chaste wife will enter the fire with rapt attention. So these are very nice and interesting verses. First of all, I want to, you know, ask for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas present, that I can actually give a class that is pleasing to everyone, and especially pleasing to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So, a few things in this. As we know, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost fruit of all Vedic literature. There's nothing material in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's called the ripened fruit of all transcendental knowledge. It's Nigama Kalpatalur Galitam Palam Sukumahad Amritadrava Sambhatam Pipata Bhagavatam Rasamaliam Mahur Rahur Rasika Bhupiba Vukaha. It's spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, who was the topmost Paramahansa. So all these things we can take lessons from, and we can learn from them and use them in our Krishna consciousness. Now it's interesting that Maharaj Yudhisthira was very concerned. He actually consider it his fault that Dhritarashtra and Gandhari left. He thought, I wasn't taking care of them well enough. Because they had lost their 100 sons, they must have been so aggrieved that they finally just left. Anyways, he was thinking like this. Of course, we know Vidura preached to him very strongly and he left. But still, he was very concerned. And that is the one of the characteristics of a pure devotee and also an ideal king. We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that a saintly king is the ideal form of government. But, of course, a rascal king is the worst kind of government. So also we're seeing this sati rite, which was a, for Gandhari. Gandhari was an ideal chaste lady, and she performed this. But later on in Kali Yuga, it was being forced, and it became criminal. And actually they passed very strict laws in India forbidding it. And even, not only was it forbidden, but anybody who was just watching or observing, they could also be prosecuted as a criminal. And Srila Prabhupada states here, yeah, that when it was forced like this, it became criminal. And maybe at the end of the class, I'd like to hear from some of the women about their feelings on this sati rite. But in this first verse, Narada Muni is making a prophecy. He's saying, you know, about five days, he's going to be burned into ashes. And it was very practical. He's telling Maharaj Yudhisthira he doesn't have to go there to perform the funeral rites because he's going to be burnt into ashes, and he doesn't have to go to protect Gandhari, because she's also going to perform the sati rite, and she'll also burn into ashes. So this Narada Muni, he knows the future. And we can see other examples that, you know, when he, when the demigods captured Pallad Maharaj's mother, who was the wife of Hirani Kasipu, Narada Muni told them, oh, don't do anything to her. She has a great devotee in the womb, because he knew that Pallad was there. And, of course, another great example of Narada Muni's knowing the future is when Nalikuvera and Mani Griva were cursed by him. It was actually his blessing. And he knew that Krishna was going to appear. And he knew exactly where Nanak Maharaj's courtyard was. Even though Krishna, he appeared in Mathura, and he moved to Gokula, and he eventually ended up, you know, in Nandagram, in Vrindavan. And Narada Muni knew that he could, if he cursed these people to become trees in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard, that eventually they would get Krishna's darshan. And of course we see that Krishna pulled them over, and they came out. So this prophecy is a very interesting thing. And in New Vrindavan in 1976, in the evening darshans, Srila Prabhupada was having read I believe it was the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, about all the symptoms of the age of Kali. And these were being, even though it was being spoken 5,000 years ago, these symptoms were being told what it was going to be like. And Srila Prabhupada made a very interesting comment. He said, actually, he said, everyone has some power of prediction. And he said, just like, you know, the weather, you know, people are, they don't really call it prediction, like forecasting. But, you know, people forecast the weather, or they have financial forecast, political forecast. You know, they have a way of seeing, you know, probably what's going to happen in the future. It may not be perfect. But, you know, just like we know that, oh, yeah, the summer is coming, it's going to be hot. And when the winter comes, it's going to be cold, because we've seen, you know, so many summer and winters come. So in the same way, some people have seen many Kali Yugas come and go, and they can predict, oh yeah, Kali Yuga is coming, this is what's going to happen. So there's a nice play called The Frog in the Well. And the story kind of briefly goes that there were two frogs in a well. One frog stayed in the well, you know, his whole life, and the other frog got out of the well, and he actually saw the ocean. And the ocean is so much bigger than the well. When he came back and he tried to tell the frog in the well that he had seen the ocean, and he can't believe it, it's so big, it's so much bigger than the water in this well. And the frog, who was very puffed up in his well, he said, oh, well, is it this big? He started puffing up, oh. And of course, he was saying, no, it's much, much bigger. And he kept puffing and puffing until he burst. But the purport of the story is, we should be very, very humble that our experience is very limited, and we're getting this, wonderful, liberating, purifying knowledge from the scriptures, and they're telling things that are maybe beyond our experience, but they're coming in the cyclic succession from very wonderful paramahansas, purified souls. And if we just listen to them with submissive oral reception, we can become purified and actually experience these things that they're talking about. So, also, there's a story. Well, I was actually on a morning walk in Boston in 1969. I wasn't there. But I was told this by Jadarani Mataji when I was a newer devotee in 1970. And she was on the walk. And they were walking. And someone asked a question. They said, does Krishna know in advance, what's going to happen? And Prabhupada said, yes. And then they kept walking and they kept walking. And there was silence for a while, and then Prabhupada stopped, and he said, don't think like that. And everybody was just, what? and he repeated, don't think like that. He said, don't think that if you knew the future, you would be bored, that if Krishna knows the future, that he will be bored. He said, don't think like that. So, nice little story about Krishna. He actually knows everything. He knows the future. So many examples, like Haridas Thakur, he knew when Lord Chaitanya was going to leave his body, so he asked Lord Chaitanya that if he could please leave before. And this also, he had this power that he could leave his body whenever he wanted. And that's a wonderful pastime. Actually, speaking of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, today is the Panihati festival. And this is a wonderful story of how Raghunath Das pleased Lord Nityananda and all the devotees, and by doing so, he got Lord Chaitanya's shelter. I was just listening to Jai Pataka Maharaj speak a little bit about this, and he actually said, I have trouble talking about this story because I just want to cry when I hear it. It's so wonderful. About how Raghunath Das got all this mercy. A little later on, if we have time, we could tell that whole story about the Panihati. So, this sati rite, it's Srila Prabhupada, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes how a woman should be protected, in all stages of her life. When she's a child, she's protected by her father. When she's married, she's protected by her husband. And in her older age, she's protected by her children, by her sons. And this is the ideal of Vedic culture. And of course, ultimately we're protected by Krishna. But today's age, it is so fallen that, women are exploited, men don't know how to protect women. They're even in this another darshan in New Vrindavan in 1976, this Mataji, Gopa Lakshmi Priya, was sitting in the darshan, and Prabhupada noticed her that she looked a little cold, and he asked her, are you all right? And the temple president said, "Oh, she's all right. She's just glad to be in your presence, Srila Prabhupada." But Srila Prabhupada wouldn't have it. He said, "No." He said, "She's very shy. And the women are shy. They won't ask. But you should ask at least once a month if they have everything that they need." And you can see Srila Prabhupada was concerned. Just like Yudhisthira was concerned. It's actually a characteristic of a pure devotee that he's very concerned about the welfare of others, more concerned than the welfare of himself. So because this age is so fallen and that the men, you know, don't know how to protect a woman, the women don't feel protected, the Sati rite is not so relevant today, although we can see from this how ideal and how much a chaste lady Gandhari was, that because she felt alone and because she was so devoted to her husband, she performed the Sati rite. And even when Maharaj Pandu, when he died, he had two wives, Kunti and Madri. And because they had small children, Kunti decided to live to take care of the children, and Madri performed this Sati rite. So I'd like to actually hear from the women what they kind of feel about, you know, Srila Prabhupada talking about the Sati rite. How you know, it's mentioned here in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada is explaining how for a chaste lady it's the ideal stage, but it's not possible in this age. Would anybody like to say anything?
I mean, it seems very foreign in this age, you know, but the truth is that sometimes, you know, the emotional pain that would come from losing someone and taking care of you, you know, for so long, it seems like it would be almost easier, you know, to enter the fire than, you know, just be bereft of the association.
Yeah.
You know, once in India, just in 1976, and Rataka, I think, was with me, we had gone on tour in different places, and there were a lot of challenges on the journey. And on the way back, the bus broke down, and it was dark, you know, it was late. And ultimately it got fixed, and we came back, and then a devotee told us that Prabhupada had been so worried, you know, about the women. And he'd stayed up until we came back, and he had commented, he said that that he was worried that in the future that the woman would not be protected. So it seems to be a big thing, you know, that Prabhupada thought about, and we've seen it in the movement too, in so many cases now, how the women weren't really protected or taken care of, something.
Yeah.
Two things just now. Mother Sukhada was talking about women being protected, and I was thinking about how we went on a parikrama in Mayapur, and Bhakti Chul Maharaj was taking us. And there were two boats, and one for the men and one for the ladies. And so he made sure that there was some men, I think maybe two men, he specifically said you have to have two men in there so that if there's anything wrong, that the ladies are taken care of. So I think such a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Sati, I was thinking that talking about in my own family, that how actually sati sometimes may not be done like it was done in the past, but like Mother Sukhadeva was saying, that emotionally sometimes it's so difficult that a woman would rather do that. But even unconsciously, and I was talking about not in India, I'm talking about America, about my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. My father-in-law was sick for 10 years or so with some cancer, and my mother-in-law was totally fine. And when my father-in-law finally passed away in the month of January, right after that, my mother-in-law couldn't take it. And they met, they were the first, you know, met at college, I think. That's, you know, that's the only relationship they had, was with each other. And so she got so sick that she developed cancer herself, and within 3 months she left her body, and the same, went to the same funeral home, same hospital, same everything. So that is like a modern sati, so to speak, where a woman may not enter in the fire that way, but because out of separation. And I think there are many stories like that, yeah, that we see that a modern kind of sati happens.
I was thinking that when a woman is young, she's protected by her father, and then later on by her husband. And later on, if the husband dies, she's protected by her son. I was thinking, in Gandhari case, a woman, it seemed like her, if she's protected as well, she's always serving, you know. And so if the husband, like when her husband passed away, there's no service, so it seemed like, you know, it's easier to just give up her life. And like Madhumati was just saying that if the husband passed away, sometimes you find that a wife will die within a few weeks or a month or so. So I was just thinking, like in Madhuri, when she passed away, she felt she had no service, and he would take care of the children. So for her not to, have a service, she, you know, she took sari. And the same thing with Gandhari, her husband passed away, she was there just to serve him. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like, you know, the service is over, so life is over. Anyway, that was my observation.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Haribol, it's comment/question. So I believe, I don't think every woman in the ancient tradition did the sati right, and that's my comment. And I believe when Krishna leaves the planet, his disappearance pastime is being enacted. At that time it's said that the women of Dwarka, the queens and the other women, probably his daughter-in-laws, they leave with Arjuna, and then Arjuna is defeated by some cowherd boys or some forest boys.
Mm-hmm.
So not everybody did sati, and that's maybe, yeah, and that's very important to note. Hare Krishna. If you wanted to say anything about how Dwarka queens and the daughter-in-laws left, that would be helpful. Hare Krishna.
No, you explained it. Mukunda, Prabhu.
I was just going to ask about the Dwarka queens. Sometime they had gone to Mother Rohini, and they had asked Mother Rohini to tell them about the glories of the ladies of Vrindavan, because Krishna used to cry at night, and he would be very much in a deep mood of separation. So they asked Mother Rohini Ma to tell them about the glories of the Vrijabasi ladies. At that time, they developed a deep meditation that they would like to be loved like that by Krishna. So when Krishna was performing Mosala Lila, at that time he told Arjuna to take the ladies back to Hastinapur. Then Krishna himself, taking the form of a dacoit, kidnaps those ladies on the way back so they could taste this mood. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said like this.
Yeah. St- Sritadi Prabhu.
Yeah, I got a short one. Well, in Prabhupada, it says right there in purport that it's basically criminal in this age because it's forced, which then conversely says suggests it's not forced in a mature political situation. But I had a historical thing. You know, the British came in, you know, and they started to really get your, you know, continental administration to, you know, in order, early 1800s, I guess, and they outlawed sati. And but I was reading reports that they were still finding instances of it happening. And, you know, of course, most cases it was for heinous reasons. But there was this one report I was reading where they investigated it, and they found that as far as this investigator could discern, the woman voluntarily did it. And it was like this sort of glorious thing. I can't clearly remember, but they were impressed, like there was something going on here that just wasn't ordinary. But there were many, many cases of it really, you know, being abused.
Yeah.
There's an online question.
Oh, sure.
From Mahamaya Mataji. Mm-hmm. There is definitely a need in ISKCON for a woman's protection office, just like we have for children. How can this be implemented?
I don't know exactly how it can be implemented, but if it just started, you know, talking about it, it'll probably come about. I think the GBC has to set it up. But I don't know, it's interesting that, I don't remember the exact quote, but Srila Prabhupada said about management, he said, you have to manage in a way that you take care of the devotees, and if you take care of them nicely, they'll do anything for you. So we can also see, you know, about the sati rite, if they have actually a good husband, you know, that's what it starts with. If you have, a good Krishna-conscious, saintly, devoted husband, you know, who has some control of his senses, then the woman will actually want to be submissive and follow them. But, you know, the lack today seems to be of good husbands. So we should try to improve on that.
We can start, Mahamaya's suggestion, question is, we can start by following what Prabhupada said, ask the woman once a month,
you know,
how they're doing, you know, do you need anything, something like that, you know, some caring like that.
Yeah.
Some attention, you know, anybody, if you ask them and you care about them, they will respond.
Yeah, exactly.
So something like that. Father Prabhupada's, you know, suggestions, and we'll be on the right way.
Yeah. Street the D again, Prabhu.
So if somebody, woman jumps in the fire, does that mean that the guy was a good husband? Is that like proof of that?
I'm not Yamaraj or somebody that can judge these things, so I don't know. Makunda Prabhu, you have some comment?
I suppose the original sati, right, the husband didn't die because sati's husband's Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
And it's the dedication of Lord Shiva that after he was offended at Daksha's yagya, she set fire to her own self out of dedication to Lord Shiva. But also, Acharyas have mentioned that the pain that Vishnu Priya suffered because she was widowed at such a young age when Mahaprabhu left, not widowed, but he took sannyas, that when her pain is described comparatively, it's worse than the sati rite.
Hmm.
Because how much pain she felt in the absence of Mahaprabhu and how she lived her life. I'm not going into details, but describes how beautifully she lived her life and took care of Mother Sachi, and how much she felt deep pain and separation from Mahaprabhu was worse than Sachi.
John.
Hey Krishna, thank you for the nice class, Guru. I just wanted to comment that someone asked about starting a women's protection team. I just want to acknowledge that the Women's Vaishnava Ministry is doing some of that work.
Oh, great.
Krishna Rupa Mataji in Australia does a lot of that, actually. And Radha Dasi, my god sister here in America, they're working like that. And if anybody wanted to particularly start something called the Women's Protection Ministry, that maybe they would be a contact to go to, because they're already doing some of that work. And there are women that are doing that work, maybe behind the scenes, and not everybody knows about, but there is some consciousness and endeavor in that regard that is going on.
Okay, great. Good news. Well, I can talk a little bit about the Panihati Festival, which is actually today, the Chip Rice Festival. As we know, Raghunath Das Goswami, before he left his home, he was in a very rich family, but he wanted to go and get the shelter of Lord Chaitanya and be in Lord Chaitanya's association. And he kept trying to run away, but his father kept on bringing him back, and he couldn't get away. So one time, Lord Nityananda was close by in Panihati, and he decided to go see Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda was sitting by the banks of the Ganges on an elevated platform. And some of Nityananda's associates said, "Oh, there's Raghunath Das. He's paying his obeisances at a distance." And Lord Nityananda said, "Oh, you're a thief. You know, why are you paying obeisances so far away? I'm going to punish you." And he forcibly brought Raghunath Das up to where he was. And he said, "I'm going to punish you that you have to make a festival of chipped rice and feed all of my associates." And of course, Raghunath Das was very happy to get this punishment. And he sent some of his men to the village to buy, you know, all the rice and pots and bring them. And they had two pots, one with chipped rice with yogurt, because it was very hot at this time. It's very cooling. And another one with chipped rice with condensed milk. And everyone was getting these two pots. But of course, the surrounding people heard that, oh, there was a festival. So people started coming. and pretty soon it was overflowing with people. There were so many people just to see Lord Nityananda and his associates in this festival. And there were so many people, some people got their pots. They were sitting on the bank of the Ganges, but pretty soon there wasn't enough room. So the people were standing in the Ganges with their pots, and they were eating it while standing in the Ganges. And from all the villages all around, they started coming and to sell all their chipped rice and their yogurt and the bananas. And whatever came, Raghunath Das would buy all of it, and then he would feed it back to the same people. And so it was a very, you know, happy time. And Lord Nityananda was very pleased, and due to his spiritual potency, he called Lord Chaitanya to come and be there. And actually, Lord Chaitanya came, and Nityananda made a place for Lord Chaitanya to sit, and was feeding him. And then they were seeing that how the devotees were so enjoying this festival, that Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya started to walk amongst the devotees, but most people couldn't see Lord Chaitanya, but a few fortunate people could. And Nityananda was taking some out of everyone's pot and was feeding it directly into the mouth of Lord Chaitanya. And Nityananda was saying, "Everyone chant, Hari, Hari." And everyone was chanting, "Hari, Hari, and he was taking, you know, rice from everyone's pot and eating some and giving some to Lord Chaitanya. And it was a very wonderful, you can just imagine, you know, chanting Hari, and, you know, Lord Nityananda's association and Lord Chaitanya there, and they're having this, you know, fun pastime. And yeah, it's overwhelming. And later, Raghunath Das made a prayer to Lord Chaitanya that he wanted to attain, you know, the shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And Nityananda blessed him, yes, very soon you will get the association of Lord Chaitanya. He said, actually, Lord Chaitanya will give you to his secretary, Sarup Damodar. And you will be one of his confidential associates. So that happened. Any other comments or details? Mukunda? Well, the question was, he wanted to know if Raghunath Das was one of those who could see that Lord Chaitanya was present. And I do not know. I don't remember. I would say probably. I can't remember if it mentions it directly, but I would think so. Okay, yes, great, thank you. And another thing about that pastime is, while all this was going on, Raghava Das Pandit, who was known to feed all the devotees, and especially, you know, feed Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, he came during this. And he was amazed, and he said to Nityananda, you know, I brought all this, you know, food, but look, there's already a big festival going on. And Nityananda said, well, don't worry, just take this chipped rice festival now, and later tonight, you know, I will eat all your prasadam. And Raghunath Das actually took shelter of Raghava Das Pandit and stayed at his house and got his blessings. So we can see it's very, very important to get the blessings of the devotees. In order to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you have to go through Nityananda. You know, in order to get to Krishna, you have to go through your guru, your spiritual master. And that is the only way that we can approach Krishna. So any other comments or questions? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.